am I strong. Now, I want to say this. We can read this verse and we can stamp it victory verse, but this is deep, mature Christian living here. You have got to go deeper in your faith and in your Christian being to be able to be writhing in pain and be able to say, Lord, in this weakness, I turn to you and focus on you. Now, there's coming a time when we'll not have to have our faith to do this. Revelation 21 verse 4 says this, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And I remember, you know, I was very active. I played baseball, football, basketball, martial arts, and sparred full contact. And I remember my father telling me a couple times, when you get older, that's going to hurt you. And I just smiled, not me. Nothing seemed to hurt me. And today, everything seems to hurt me. Thomas Jefferson made this statement, the art of life is the avoiding of pain. The art of life is the avoiding of pain. Now, when we first hear this statement, it seems to be a true statement, but none of us really deliberately avoid pain. When you want to say that we look for pain, it's not really true on a daily basis. All of us do our best to avoid something painful, but we need to understand that God uses pain. I've learned this for spiritual development. God will use pain for spiritual development. We have not a lot, but we have probably two or three, maybe more than that, that are in chronic pain all the time, and they've had surgeries, and they've been given gizmos to try to help them, and things along that line, but they're in chronic, and they're not crybabying about it. You hardly ever hear them say anything. In our experience, there are many times that we've chosen not to avoid pain. For example, when you look at human birth, and then when you decide that, you know, you want to bring a child into the world and to have that in. And while we've had tremendous advancements in medicines to protect the mother and the child, there's still a certain amount of pain. And Jesus uses this to illustrate, or as an illustration of suffering, in John 16, verse 21. He says, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. When you think about pain and sorrow, think about parents. You decide to get married and to have children. And someone said, I've heard it many times growing up, that when your children are little, they step on your feet, but often when they grow up, they step on your heart. And, I've met many dedicated Christian parents who are of a broken heart because they have a prodigal out there who's gone wayward. They have failed to heed the instruction of their parents. They have failed to follow the example of their parents. And because of that, it brings great pain to that family. If anybody really wanted to avoid pain, they'd never get married, they'd never raise a family, they'd never have children. Now, pain in itself is not sin, but some pain and some suffering comes because of sinful disobedience, and God brings his chastening hand, our chastisement, but not all of pain deals with sin. You know, I made it a practice all my life not to try to forecast why people are going through such a tragic time. a pastor catches a lot of tears. The lady finds out she's got to have breast, she has breast cancer, got to have surgery. A lady, you know, is in a car accident and her mother's killed and her neck is broken. And on and on and on. But normally people are good when they feel led to tell you what they're going through. I know that I've had the buffeting of Satan in my life. There's no doubt about that. And I know that God has touched me because I've been a rebellious servant and like a Jonah and did not have the right spirit about some things. And God has touched me. I don't know if you can say that or not, but I can. And I know the difference. You know, when my daddy spanked me, he always told me why. And when God spanks us, he tells us why. But I'm not going to sit here and try to tell Brother Gray or tell Brother Vaskar, well, you're just not right with God. I'm not going to be a Job's friend like that. But usually people will say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I've been away from God. And sometimes it's very evident. They've not been in church. They've not read their Bible. They've not been walking with God for some time. And God will allow sorrow and pain to come in. But sorrow and pain is not always because of disobedience. Pain is a danger sign, by the way. It's a good thing. It's something we should be thankful for because it tells us something's wrong. If it were not for that pain, if something went wrong in our body, we might die from neglect. You know, I think of our dear friend, Jay Edwards, and I miss Jay very often, but his diabetes and his sugar was higher. I never knew somebody could have sugar that high and live. It was so high. And he had called me one day and was very upset, and he was shaving. And he used the old razors, you know, that open up like this, and you drop the blade in like that. But he had tried to hit the trash can, but it went in his boot. And he went to Memphis and walked all day on that razor blade. But he had no feeling in his feet. And when he pulled it out, his foot was just cut to pieces. If you remember, just the last year he's with us, he had fingers, digits were being amputated every almost 2 or 3 weeks. And that's because his hand was in a skillet and he was reaching for something but didn't realize that he had no feeling. So when we burn ourselves, when we have that pain, it's God's signal. When I was meeting with the neurologist and they at first turned me down for surgery, they were going to do the electrodes and they were going to let me try that and put that in, and I'd have a remote that could turn up the electrical thing to intercept the pain. But Dr. Foley told me that the brain's very smart, and within a few years, it will bypass and let your brain know that you're hurt. Pain is not a bad thing. God has designed it so we can take care of stuff. It's kind of like the oil light that comes on, and we need to pay careful attention to it. But what good is pain to us spiritually? How does pain affect us spiritually? And I want you to know, everything in life affects us spiritually. This is where we need to focus attention tonight. And I got just 2 points, but they're a little bit lengthy. But I want you, as I was preparing this, it was with great joy that I saw some of these truths. And I hope it'll bless you. First of all, let's consider our response to pain. What is our response to pain? Well, we are in a hurry for us to get over it. When it is over, we often forget about it. Most of us just want out of the painful seat. We may not understand, but we just want out. You know, I remember going to Dr. Reed, our dentist, for many years, and I had been preaching up in North Carolina, and I had this hot tooth, and he had given me numerous shots. I tell this story, and I can make it somewhat humorous, but I'll save us the humor tonight. But he had given me like 14 or 15 Novocaine shots, start drilling again, and it was just, he couldn't deaden it. He said, he was a very Just a wonderful man. And we're still in touch, matter of fact. We still talk. He's long time been retired and has moved, but we still are in touch. And he put his hand on me. He said, Brother Rick, he said, that infection has moved in between the nerve and your tooth where I can't get to it. And but he would come in and give me a little bit of Novocaine and leave and come out. You should be good and dead now, but I would feel it. And that happened numerous times. And then he told me something that I wish he hadn't told me. He said, I want to give you a shot I've only given twice in my career. I didn't really need to know that. And he said, I want to give it to you right in the roof of your mouth. I really didn't want to know that either. And when he brought it in, it was a big silver shot, and it had like the scissors ends on it, and it had like a dagger on the end. And it looked like something you'd see in the basement of Dr. Frankenstein. And I looked at that, and I thought, oh, no. And he laid me back, and I think I felt his knee in my chest, and he shot that thing up in the roof of my mouth, and he's always talking to me about the liberal politics, and back then it was Clinton and Hillary, and I, you know, you're trying to talk with him, and he gives me that shot. And I want you to know, brother, it's like I got hit with a 44 up in there. And I'm sitting there, and he says, now, that's over with. That'll get you numb. And he came back about 30 minutes later to make sure I was good enough. Man, I looked like a mad dog. It was terrible. It was terrible. And I was soppy wet. He was soppy wet. And he started to drill again, and it was still hot. He said, I can't believe that. That has always fixed it. He said, get up. Get up. And I looked at him and I said, where are we going? And he says, you're going to get in the front seat of my car, and I'm going to take you to across town to an anesthesiologist. We're going to put you to sleep, and we're going to get that tooth. And I sat down, and I put my arm around this way, and I said, I'm not going nowhere with you. That's what I told him. And he looked at me and he says, Brother Rick, that's got to come out. I said, that's the way people end up on milk cartons. What happened to Pastor? Last time we know, he went to the dentist. He never came back, you know. And he said, well, what are we going to do? And I told him, I said, quit playing around and get it. And he did. He got in there. And he had a nurse over there, and she was yanking on this ear, and she was pulsating in here. It didn't help a thing. I think it helped her, you know. And he's going in like a jackhammer, and the room filled with this horrific stench. And he stops, and he starts teaching her, that's the infection. So I just thought, would you just please get it, you know. And he went in, and he got it. When we are in pain, by the way, when I finally got up out of the chair, he embraced me. There wasn't a dry thread on him, and there wasn't one on me. And every time we see each other, we laugh about that time. And he says, we'll never do that again, ever again, Brother Rick. We'll never do that again. Now, let me just say that our response is, thank goodness, thank God, that's over with. If we do not allow the experience to play a significant part in our future, there will be no change and there will be no growth. Our pain should grow us and make us deeper and more mature for God. You know. Now your pain, you've heard it said before, it's going to make you bitter or it's going to make you better. And we need to allow our pain. You know, I don't want to rehearse it, and I feel like I'm talking about myself too much, but I know a little bit about pain, and I remember the first night in the rehab hospital after I had been brought from Memphis on my second surgery. Now, I've had 13 hours, two separate surgeries within a week, and I was broken. I mean, just so broken. And then you're in a strange place, and you're with strange people, and when you're an independent person and you can't do anything, you can't even get out of bed. You know what I'm talking about, and you're hurting so bad, and then that 3 o'clock hour comes, and there's nobody with you. I had someone say on Facebook the other day about, I have nobody to walk with me. And I just told them, walk with Jesus, and you'll always have somebody walk with you. And I hit the red button, and I asked the nurse to come in, and she came in, and I said, please. I had soaked through my pajamas. I had soaked through the sheets and the pillowcase. I was so miserable. I was puddled up at the foot of the bed. I don't know why it happened that way, but it did. And they would have to get people and grab the sheets under me and pick me up and slide me up, pick me up, and it was just excruciating. And then they said, can you roll on your side? I said, I don't know. I'm not sure. Certainly not without great pain. They said, try to get on your side. And I rolled over a bit on my side, and they came in and they packed me with ice from my back of my neck down to my knees. And once they got me packed in ice, they turned the light out and closed the door and left me. Now, I want to tell you something. I wanted out of that. And all I wanted was out. And I started crying out to God audibly. I was audible. I was like, God, I want out of this bed. God, I want out of this pain. God, I want to get home. God, I want to be better. God, and it's as if God spoke to me. It wasn't audibly, but it was close. And he said, the Lord is thy shepherd, thou shalt not want. And immediately I repented of my sin. It was sinful. It's not about me. It's about him. And I asked him, and I cried. I shed tears and wept and said, God, forgive me. You are enough. And we need to understand that we are in a hurry for our pain to be over. And then when it's over, we forget about it. But we need to remember those come to Jesus meetings in the midst of our pain. We need to allow them to change us, and we need to allow it to grow us. Weak carnal people can't do this. They're going to take pills and they're going to cry, baby. And I'm not saying you shouldn't take meds. I did. I certainly did. But I'm saying this. I'm saying that I was changed through it. I wasn't the same person coming through it. Now, let me say, it is also possible for us to become so bound to the experience that it's actually hinders our spiritual growth. And what I mean by this is we never forget about it. It becomes a focal point of our lives. Everything's about our pain. Can I tell you this? Listen to me. Listen to me. If you're listening live stream or you're here tonight, nobody wants to hear about all your aches and pains. You are a boring person, and that's a boring conversation. There's been times that I've got up to preach, and I was in such pain, but I didn't get up and cry. People don't come from Lexington and from all over the city to see somebody get up and cry baby about their woes. They come to worship. Now, we never forget about it. We need to, you know, they never forget about it. It's their focal point. We can become bitter. If we focus only on our affliction and fail to view this is an opportunity for spiritual growth, we fail. We let it sink in. Suffering and pain can be a mirror or a window. As a mirror, we only see ourselves. But, you know, and our own needs. That's all we see. You see people in their pain, and it's all about them. That's all they see. They can't breathe. They can't walk. They can't talk. They can't, you know, they can't swallow. It's all about them constantly. It's because their pain and suffering has become a mirror to them. But when it becomes a window, we see through and we see the needs of others. And it helps us to understand people who are struggling greatly with pain. Maybe we haven't had that pain. And I want to say this. You don't have to have someone else's pain to be hurt. Your pain is your pain, and it's real to you. And in 2 Corinthians 1, the Bible says in verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God, or of God. We ought to be able to take our pain, and our pain ought to move us to be able to be a help and encouragement to others who are in pain. When I was in rehab, I told you the story. I'm not going to tell it again, but about a rough old guy with a beard, had like B&D construction hat on, and he's over there folding baby socks and with tears coming down his face, having a hard time. Occupational therapy. I don't get it. You know, they had me put pillows in pillowcases. And they didn't fool me. Those pillows were bigger than those pillowcases were. And it took some time getting them in there, but bless God, I got them in there. I found out what his name was. We talked a bit, and I prayed with him. The therapist came over, and she prayed with us as well. I'm just saying that you can be so locked in. And by the way, as I sat there in that rehab, I saw people oozing with bitterness, doing whatever they had to do, just angry and bitter, and a scowl on their face. And I'd say, oh God, I don't want to be like that. And we need to understand what is their proper response to our pain. Let me tell you what it is. We need to respond in a manner that reflects spiritual maturity. When we go through great pain and sorrow, that should tender us and strengthen us and encourage us. We need to look through the window and see others and get out of the mirror and just see ourselves. Some people are stuck in the mirror. You see them coming, you want to turn around and run, you know. And they think that they are the only ones who have woes and sorrows and troubles. Acts chapter 14. Well, let me say this. I said that we need to respond in a manner that reflects spiritual maturity. But suffering and pain is an expected part of the Christian life. This TV evangelist preaching, this name it and claim it prosperity gospel, you don't find that in the Bible, and you don't find it in those who walk with Jesus. Acts chapter 14, verse 21 and 22. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Look what it says. And that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Now there's some who wants to say that that's a work salvation. He's not talking about working salvation. He's just saying for the Christian, there's an expectation of suffering and pain. Peter tells us that we shouldn't be surprised, rather that we should rejoice in all of our trials. 1 Peter 4, verse 12 and 13. Peter says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, to test you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." He says, don't be shocked, don't be surprised. By the way, I try to remind myself of this passage often. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. Verse 13, "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." He tells us, don't be surprised, don't be shocked, don't think it's strange, but rejoice in being partakers of Christ's suffering. Through our pain, through our suffering, we literally are able to connect to our Lord and our Savior, who was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, who had the blood, the beard plucked from his face, who was despised and was rejected among men. When we face these things, we are on a level where we can connect with God Almighty himself. Now, we need to consider our response to pain. And then secondly, consider the ministry of pain. Pain can be a ministry. Now, there are some people who are not fundamentalist. There are some people I have read And they have suffered tremendous, some on the battlefield, and some through terrible, terrible misfortune of ski accidents. And they have turned their pain into ministry. And in many ways, they are such a rebuke to me whenever I hear them speak or I read something that they have said. Consider the ministry of pain. Pain and affliction reveals spiritual needs. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 67, look what it says. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Here's a man who was enjoying his life. Here's a man who was enjoying prosperity. His life was full. His life was satisfying, but he did not see that the nature of his prosperity was disguising his spiritual bankruptcy. This man was empty spiritually. Oh, he had the world by the tail before I was afflicted. His affliction revealed his spiritual needs. Remember, not all pain, not all suffering is intended as a warning because we have backslidden or we've spiritually declined. But there are times when this is the case. And he says in verse 67 of Psalm 119, before I was afflicted, I went astray. God's mercy is seen in that he doesn't allow us to continue to drift away as his children, but he sends his chastening hand to wake us up. Psalm 119, verse 71 says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Now, to be able to see beyond the pain and to see the hand of God is a great mark of maturity. When you can see beyond your pain and see the workings of the Lord in your life, that's a great leap in your spiritual maturity. This man knew the statutes intellectually, but never had learned them by experience. It's the same thing when we want to quote Romans 8:28. We know that all things work for the good of them that know and love God, who are called according to his purpose. But it's quite a different thing to experience it. If you're in the hospital and you're very ill, you're very sick, and you know they're doing tests, try to see what's wrong with you. And someone who has walked with God and has been a testimony of God, has been faithful to the house of God, to the word of God, it's obvious he the hand of God is on him, and comes to the hospital and visits you and prays with you, it may mean quite a bit for you. The affectional fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth. Yes. But if you have some joker come up there, he's in and out, off and on, hot and cold. He talks about God over here and cusses over there. He's halfway in church, he's halfway out. And he's just carnal, and there's no real true blessing of God on him. You know, he wants to come up, he wants to pull the Romans 8:28 on you. It's not going to mean anything to you. It doesn't mean anything. Because he does not have the authority of a testimony that backs that up. So pain and affliction reveals our spiritual need. And if we will let, if we will be able to look beyond our pain and see the hand of God, that's a great mark of maturity. Secondly, pain and affliction reveals the faithfulness of God. Now, while you're doubled over with a gut ache, you may not feel like he's faithful, but he is. Psalm 119, verse 75, listen to this, look at it carefully. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. Now, at first glance, we might say that the writer was saying that he was simply getting what he deserved. However, if that was the case, he might have said, in justice, thou hast afflicted me. But he recognizes the faithfulness of God here. He recognizes God's faithfulness. Consider for a moment Joseph. Now, as a young lad, he was marked by God to be a great leader for God and among his people. But he did have a period of going astray with pride when he started sharing with his brothers how they were going to be kneeling before him. I think this is a great area of pride for Joseph. And he's telling not they didn't have dreams. He's telling his dreams and how they were going to be servants to him. And then after this, one affliction right after another in his life until God's will was fulfilled through him. The important thing is somewhere along the line, Joseph learned the lesson about allowing pain to mature him and to see the hand of God in it. How do we know this? Genesis 50, verse 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. He sees God in all of it. To bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Joseph was able to see the faithfulness of God through all that he went through. I feel like if he hadn't have seen that, he'd spend more time in prison. You know, don't make God send you to summer school or keep you longer. Now, we talked about pain and affliction. It reveals spiritual needs. It reveals the faithfulness of God. And then pain and affliction, it can bring us into a closer fellowship with God, and it should. Some people, they turn from God. Some people, when things come, they get bitter. And they'll say, God, where were you? God, are you there? They question the love of God, the concern of God, the presence of God. And we can be drawn closer to Christ through pain because of the fellowship that we have with him. Paul said in Philippians 3:10 that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And look what it says, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul knew something about pain. Look at 2 Corinthians 12, and we'll pick up our victory verse in here at the same time. In verse 2, Paul says, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. So he knows this man who died about 14 years ago. Now he can't tell if he's in the body or out of the body. I think this might have been a time where they took Paul out and stoned him to death. I think this is when this happened. And God raised him up and he went back in and finished his message. Good for you, Paul. And we see in verse 3, he said, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. It's always interesting, all these TV evangelists, they know everything. Here's the Apostle Paul, he's not certain about some things. And the verse 4 says, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for any man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. Paul had many revelations, very much understanding. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, this thorn. Now, it could have been his eyesight. It could have been arthritic hands. He was a tent maker. It could have been anything. And he said, for this thing, this thorn, I besought the Lord thrice. Three times he asked God that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, he didn't tell Paul no, and he didn't tell him yes. He told him why here. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And what that means is it keeps Paul dependent upon the Lord. Yeah. because of this thorn. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If he didn't have this thorn, he probably would not have the power that he has. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. You know, no one likes pain. But I tell you one thing, actually I'm grateful that God has helped us manage it. Up until just a year and a half ago, I don't think I've ever had anything much stronger than ibuprofen. I had a kidney stone. You know what those are like. How many of you ever had a kidney stone? My son, I want you to know. Now, when you're having the kidney stone and that thing's moving, you're telling Jesus you'll be a missionary in Africa. You'll just do whatever in the world, just make it stop. And this doctor prescribed this, I think it was hydrocodone. And I told him, I said, I don't want that stuff. He's always pushing stuff. I don't want that stuff. I don't take that stuff. I never had anything like that. And Debbie wisely said, honey, it's only just going to be $4. Let's just get it filled. You don't have to take it. And I'm not kidding. Debbie, I'm telling the truth. Remember, it's around 3 o'clock. Every morning at 3 o'clock when that thing would start moving. It's like it had a watch on its wrist. It's about 3 o'clock. Let's start moving, you know. And I would wake up, oh. And I would go in and sit on the couch, and I would get a pillow, and I'd pull it close. And I'd pray, oh, God, help me with this. And Debbie, she said, here, take this. It's that hydrocodone. It'll help you. And I took it. In about 30 minutes, it started getting a little bit better, you know, and everything. And I'm sitting in a chair, and I'm resting, and it starts hurting again, and I look, and you can't take the next one until 4 hours. And I said, oh, I got 55 minutes to wait before I can take another one. You know, no one wants to jump up and down. Say, I take pleasure in kidney stones, or Crohn's, or diverticulitis, or diabetes, or whatever. But Paul says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I have found in my weakest point where I just can't even get out of bed, I'm the closest to God at that time. And he walks with me and talks with me. He is real and he is present. And he floods the room and he fills the room. And I know he's there. He's there. Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now let me finish. And there's three things I want you to get before we pray. Speaking about pain. Number one, pain can have a purifying power in our lives as it reveals areas of spiritual needs. When we are in that throes of great pain and suffering, it's when we start examining ourselves and it has a purifying power in our lives that reveals areas of spiritual need. Number two, pain also points us to the faithfulness of God. We have a greater sense of his presence and his love. He cares for you. Just recently, God just moved on me like he hasn't been moved, like I've not been moved on in a long time. And he moved on me, and I was overwhelmed by his great love for me. Pain points us to the faithfulness of God. Pain purifies, is a purifying power that reveals to us spiritual needs. And then thirdly, pain brings us into a closer relationship with him. We enter in a deeper dependency with him in our pain. What should be our response to pain? Let me give it to you and we'll be done. What should be the response to pain? We need to surrender our pain to Christ and ask him to use it for his glory. That happened at 3 o'clock in the morning, that first most miserable night. I said, Pastor, did you have any more miserable nights? Every night. And when I'd see the clock go to 7, I thought, oh no, the darkness is coming. And for some reason, it's worse through the night hours. But he was there. And God has, listen, he's never promised to remove our pain. He's never promised to relieve our pain. But he does promise to transform it and use it for his eternal purpose. And we must surrender our pain to Christ and ask him to use it for his glory. And God's people said, amen. Life's problems, pain. There's not a day I don't deal with pain today. And I guess this is the way it's going to be if the Lord carries me home. That's much better than what it was. And I hope it gets better, more so. And none of us wants to go through pain. He's laughing at me because he's a tough guy. Sammy's seen more pain than anybody in this room. He has. And has just smiled, laughed about it. Let's stand to our feet. Some of you tonight, you have no pain. You know? Some of you, the biggest pain you got is a hunger pain. That's what you got. A steak and potato would fix you. And we were there. But one day, one day's coming if you live long enough. And some of you who are so young, my heart breaks for you to be so young. Man, I've been strong. Most of you all know me. Some of you know me for 35 years. I've been very strong all my life. And, you know, to lose some independence and to lose some things is very hard. It's humbling and sometimes humiliating. But let your pain make you better. And go to God and let your suffering unite yourself with him on that level. I hope it's been a help to you. It's a blessing to me. And I've learned some of these things this past year. And I hope it's been a help to you. Father, help us to bring our pain to you. And we may tonight feel like, well, you know, this is pretty much a bust for me. I didn't get anything out of this. But you never know, a car wreck could happen tomorrow. God forbid, but a car wreck, and they could be racked with pain for the rest of their life or for the next 2 or 3 years. Lord, help us to surrender our pain to you and then ask you to use it for your glory. Let it purify our lives and reveal our spiritual needs. Let us allow our pain to point to us how faithful of a God you are, and let us allow our pain and suffering to bring us in closer fellowship with you, a deeper dependency, a greater sense of your presence. Use the message tonight. For any reason, be obedient to the Lord. And for any reason, use the altar tonight as God leads you. Come now.